Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 2:04, and that's Pacific summertime on May 3rd. And today, the story was really all about the dollar, because yesterday we were saying that the dollar index was right at the lower side of the range, that it had developed this short-term oversold condition, and that if it was going to rally, that it needed to do so in a dynamic fashion. Well, it did that. The euro, for example, got up as high as 116 and change. And at the time of recording right now, it's at 114.97. So it wasn't a very big move if you just look at it on the day, but this was a very large tail on that candle. And it suggests that at least somebody was selling euros up there at the upper side of the range today. Then you have upside key day reversals for the dollar against the Canadian dollar and the pound. The Australian dollar was also pegged back in here today because the RBA cut interest rates and is sort of unleashing a two-pronged approach where monetary policy is actually being followed up by the government with fiscal policy. So they really are trying to stimulate there. Well, that was very positive for the stock market. Despite the fact that just about everything else was in negative territory today, the ASX was up by 2%, and that's just a direct response to the RBA's decision. It's and the banking sector there is probably more likely to benefit than the resources sector because of this dollar strength. And we have short-term overbought conditions in the vast majority of the resources sector, and that's as true of the energy sector as it is of the mining sector, as it is of agriculture. So there were quite large moves in the agricultural sector this morning, and wheat and corn pulled back fairly sharply. Then if you look at copper, then it was also down. And then the precious metals, where platinum posted a downside Q reversal. Palladium was down $17, and on a $600 contract, that's not small change. Then silver was down 20 cents, and gold was reasonably unchanged. It's around $1,286, and of course, it hadn't rallied nearly as much as those other commodities. So then it's still holding the breakout, but we're probably going to see some consolidation. It's not going to go up at the same pace. And the ability of the dollar to rally here will be, in many respects, will be dictated by what happens tomorrow, because upside follow-through for the dollar would suggest that it's not just a short-term move, but that we have a near-term low and potentially a medium-term low for the dollar, and not least because it's right at the lower side of its range. And then the other big thing that happened today was oil. So oil prices were down in the region of a dollar. And it's really important to look at the Brent crude chart, because you've had three reactions now of between about $5 and $6. And this reaction so far has been about $3. And that suggests then that it's still got $2 to go, and this would still only be an equal-sized reaction. But we are in the region of the moving average, and there was a good question today, and it's something that we get from time to time asking about what's the best way to use moving averages or the trend. That's why we refer to it as the trend mean. So we've had the reversion to the mean, and it has overshot, and that's quite normal, especially when you get very large overextensions, both on the upside and the downside, that the reversion can overshoot. And now the question is, to what extent are those gains going to hold? And there is an argument coming through, and it makes sense, so it's worth repeating, that the Baker Hughes rig count is worth watching, but that a lot of wells have already been drilled, but they're not producing yet because the additional expenditure to bring them online hasn't been brought forward. And there's a lot of hedging going on, because if you want to hedge a year out, then you can get $50 a barrel for that. And that's economic enough to be attractive to a certain number of people. And then if you can hedge your production at $50, and it's only going to cost you perhaps another $10 a barrel to bring a drilled well into production, well, why wouldn't you do that? And that's something that's worth keeping an eye on. And that's why we can't simply rely on just one indicator, which would be the rig count. And that is obviously going to remain important, but rather we have to just watch the consistency of what has been a very consistent rally so far. So then we'd be looking at $42 on Brent crude, and that would be a somewhat larger reaction. So then $40 a barrel would be where you would say this is a clearly a larger reaction, that resistance has been encountered in the region of the moving average, and that we could potentially see a retest of the lows. And the retest of the low doesn't mean that prices go all the way down to the low, but that it would require a clear upward dynamic to demonstrate that demand is returning at progressively higher levels. Now, if the dollar is rallying and commodity prices are pulling back, then the very best, well, the 10 of the 10 best performers on the S&P 500 this year, 8 of them are oil and gas or mining related. And I think the 10th is like Wynn Resorts, which is a casino. So the best performing sector this year to date now looks like we're getting at least some consolidation of what has been a powerful bull move since the beginning of the year. And if the best performing sector this year is at least consolidating, then that's going to rob the wider market of some of the impetus that it has enjoyed over the last 4 months. So when you look at Wall Street today, and indeed Europe, just about everything was in negative territory. And the Nikkei was, the Nikkei was actually closed today. So that was down 3% yesterday. The Hang Seng was down 1.8%. The majority of indices in Europe were down in excess of 2%. And both Spain and Italy were down in excess of 2.5%. Then if you look at Wall Street, the S&P 500 was down 18%, which is at about 0.87% down. The NASDAQ was down over 1%. Commodity-related markets like Canada and Brazil were both down in excess of 1%. Actually, Brazil was down over 2%. Now, when you look at the S&P, it hasn't yet broken its progression of higher reaction lows since January, but the NASDAQ has. And the NASDAQ has now posted another lower high. It's a second lower high. It's pulling back, the composite is pulling back from the region of 5,000, and that was the 2,000 peak. And this has been a marked loss of momentum over at least since July of last year. So this is a significant loss of momentum. It's pulling back from a big psychological level. It's broken its short-term progression of higher reaction lows. And this represents a significant loss of consistency in what had been really a rivetingly consistent uptrend between 2012 and the middle of 2015. So and those are all facts, and there's no conjecture there. And what it really needs to do is sustain a move above 5,000. But in the absence of a move like that, you'd have to give the benefit of the doubt to at least some consolidation and potentially a retest of the lows. Now, there is a world of difference between the NASDAQ today and the NASDAQ in 2000, and not least valuations. And it is supported today by companies that are among the biggest earners and have got the strongest cash flows of any companies in the world. So it is very unlikely that this is the top of a mania. But at the same time, valuations are not exactly rock bottom here. And there is plenty of potential that we could be in a volatile, rangy environment. And against that background, the VIX index is quite low. And it was a bit firmer in here today, but not in a dynamic fashion. And you know what we're looking at here is the increasing risk that we are going to see some additional consolidation, and potentially with single stock volatility where it is, that is going to begin to start moving the needle in terms of the risk parameters that automated trading systems can tolerate. So then the risk of additional weakness cannot simply be just ignore it here. And of course, with that, you have to think about what is it that people would put their money into if there's a reversionary environment, or we're moving out of a risk-on environment and potentially moving into a risk-off environment. Well, then the dollar is something that people would be buying. So the fact that the dollar is now unwinding its oversold condition, well, that's also indicative of a risk-off environment. And U.S. Treasuries, the long bond was stronger today by almost 1.66%, 1.66 points. So it's up to 163. And then the German Bund was stronger by over a full point. And then that suggests desire for some form of safe haven. So we've had a spectacular rally in risk assets over the last 4 months, and it is looking increasingly likely that it is over, and that we are at least moving into a process of consolidation. And then the big question, and it is going to be answered at some point in the next 6 or 7 weeks, is to what extent is it that these risk assets can find support above their respective lows? And for those that were really oversold on the back in January, well, then there's a good prospect of that, because they have rallied enough that they have plenty of room in which to consolidate. But I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.